Thank you for tuning in to IGH 260, a one chapter per week, 260 week, 5 year long study of the New Testament. Today's broadcast, lesson number 3 of week number 21, studying Matthew chapter 21. As we get started, these reminders. For all of our free materials, click the word free at internationalgospelhour.com. You will find 2 new books available at that page, Receiving the Gift of Salvation and Surrendering to His Lordship. Download these 2 books for free, read them, and you will be blessed by both. For text updates, text IGHFREE, all one word, to this number, 55222. Text IGHFREE to 55222. To study the Bible online, go to igh.worldbibleschool.org to get started, or click the online courses link at internationalgospelhour.com. To study the Bible by mail, call us toll-free 1-855-IGH-6988 for a free 30-lesson series. Or use the contact form at internationalgospelhour.com to request that series. Let's return to our study of Matthew 21. As we started our verse-by-verse, thought-by-thought study of this chapter in our last broadcast, we noted that the people who followed Jesus into Jerusalem would have included the multitudes, Jesus' disciples, and the 2 blind men. All 4 gospel records tell us that Jesus was heading to Jerusalem, not just to physically be in that city, but to physically die in that city. The closing words of Luke's account emphasize that the gospel of repentance and remission of sins would be preached in the name of Jesus to all nations, and that it would begin in Jerusalem, Luke 24, verse 47. We also learn that the apostles were told to wait in Jerusalem for the promise of my Father, referring to the coming of the Spirit, verse 49. After Jesus went out of the city as far as Bethany, Jesus left the apostles as he ascended to heaven. The apostles worshipped him, and then they returned to Jerusalem with great joy, Luke 24, verse 52. In Luke's second inspired text, the book of Acts, we learn that the apostles waited in Jerusalem for the Spirit of promise, Acts 1, verse 4. What's the significance, then, of Jerusalem, not only in the context of Matthew 21, verse 1 and following, but also in all of its parallel context? First, Jerusalem was where Jesus would suffer and die for our sins. Matthew 16, 21, a passage that we have noted before, tells us this: from that time, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised the third day. Mark 10, verses 32 and 33 repeats that. Now they were on the road going up to Jerusalem, and Jesus was going before them, and they were amazed. And as they followed, they were afraid. Then he took the 12 aside and again began to tell them the things that would happen to him. Behold, we are going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be betrayed to the chief priests and to the scribes, and they will condemn him to death and deliver him to the Gentiles. Second, Jerusalem was where the gospel of repentance and remission of sins was foretold by Jesus to start, Luke 24, verse 47. It was, of course, the city where that message was first proclaimed. Luke records that in the first 2 chapters of Acts, specifically in Acts chapter 2, starting in verse 36. And Jerusalem was the place where the earthly manifestation of the kingdom of God on this side of the cross, that would be Christ's church, it was the place where the kingdom/church would begin. Acts 2, the entire chapter, verses 1 through 47, especially verse 47. There are, of course, many other biblical texts that highlight the role of Jerusalem in God's eternal plan. but these at least give us a glimpse into that city's importance in the divine biblical plan of redemption. As Jesus and his followers approached Jerusalem, they came to Bethphage, a small village on the slopes of the Mount of Olives. Bethphage, which means House of Unripe Figs, was about a mile outside of the city. The Mount of Olives figures prominently in the latter part of Jesus' life and ministry. Later in Matthew, as Jesus sat on the Mount of Olives, his disciples came to him, and they asked him about the timing of the destruction of the city of Jerusalem and the signs of both his own coming and the end of the age. Matthew 24, verse 3. After Jesus observed the Passover and instituted what we know to be the forerunner of the Lord's Supper memorial, Jesus, along with the apostles, sang a hymn and went out to the Mount of Olives. Matthew 26, verse 30, and Mark 14, verse 26. In some context, it was referred to as Olivet. For example, in Luke 21, verse 37, we read, "And in the daytime he was teaching in the temple, but at night he went out and stayed on the mountain called Olivet." In Luke's parallel account to this passage, he also referred to the Mount of Olives as the mountain called Olivet, Luke 19, verse 29. In the next chapter of Luke, Scripture tells us that Jesus was accustomed to go to the Mount of Olives, Luke 22, verse 29. In the opening chapter of Acts, Luke wrote about the day in which he was taken up, referring to the time of Jesus' ascension, Acts chapter 1, verse 2. The text tells us that Jesus, as he was assembled together with them here meaning the apostles, that Jesus commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, Acts chapter 1, verse 4. After the dialogue between Jesus and the 11 about the coming of the Spirit and the apostles' question about the coming kingdom, Jesus gave what appears to be a summary overview of the geographic and the ethnic distribution of the gospel of the kingdom. Starting in Jerusalem, it would proceed to all Judea, Samaria, and then ultimately to the end of the earth. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. After he spoke those words, Jesus ascended, the angels comforted the apostles, and the apostles returned to Jerusalem. The text says, "Then they returned to Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day's journey." Acts chapter 1, verse 12. There are usually four peaks associated with Olivet, or the Mount of Olives, so named because of the abundance of olive trees in the area. Without specifically addressing which one, Luke nevertheless informs us that Jesus' ascension took place in that vicinity. This set the stage for what we read next. Before Jesus entered Jerusalem, he sent two of his disciples ahead of him. They were instructed to find a donkey with a colt and to bring them to Jesus. Jesus, however, did not send the two disciples into Jerusalem, but rather into Bethphage. Other accounts in the Gospels indicate that Jesus' entry into the city of Jerusalem started on the Mount of Olives and then proceeded down the mount into the city. That's what we find when we read Luke chapter 19, verse 37. "Then, as he was now drawing near the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works they had seen." Jesus instructed the disciples, saying that if they were asked about why they were taking the donkey and the colt, they were to say, "The Lord has need of them." Chapter 21, verse 3. We are accustomed to reading or hearing the word Lord in context just like this and automatically assuming that its meaning refers to Lord in the sense of deity. To be sure, there are many times that the term has that very sense of meaning. There are, however, many other times when the term was used as nothing more than a matter of respect, in the sense of referring to someone as master or sir or something comparable. It was used to indicate a position of authority over another, as a master over a slave or the landowner over a vineyard. In this context, Jesus used the term himself, and Jesus used it applying to himself. Jesus knew, of course, that he was Lord in that special sense, in the sense of being the divine Son of God. Whether or not Jesus intended it to be understood in that way or not isn't very clear. Thus, some New Testament word studies, for example, Robertson and Vincent, are hesitant to definitively apply divine lordship in this instance. Vincent, for example, notes the use of the term as it applied to the gods, like Hermes, Zeus, and so forth, as it applied to the head of a family, as well as to a master of slaves. After he notes its use in the Septuagint translation of the Old Testament, he says this, "As applied to Christ, it does not express his divine nature and power. These are indicated by some accompanying word or phrase." Vincent's point, when the word Lord is used in conjunction with other words, for example, Lord my God, Lord of all, Lord of glory, then it's definitively referring to Jesus as deity. Whether or not the use of the term Lord was intended by Jesus to affirm his deity in this instance, we cannot know for sure. We know, of course, that Jesus was the Son of God, and we know that the disciples recognized him as such, so its use here certainly fits with that meaning. One last thought. When the disciples told those who owned the donkey and the colt that the Lord has need of them, what would they have understood the term to mean? Matthew does not tell us anything about the interaction with others as the disciples went to bring the donkey and the colt to Jesus, but other accounts do. We will address that matter when we cover those gospel accounts in our later studies. In Matthew 21, verses 4 and 5, Jesus' entrance into the city of Jerusalem fulfilled prophecy. 21 chapters into Matthew's gospel, and we continue to see what we first observed in the opening chapters. Matthew repeatedly emphasizes the fulfillment of Old Testament prophecy. In this immediate context of two verses, Matthew 21, verses 4 and 5, we witness the fulfillment of a passage from the prophet Zechariah. That passage reads, "Tell the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you, lowly and sitting on a donkey, a colt the foal of a donkey." In our next broadcast, we will take up at this point and continue our study of Matthew chapter 21. This reminder as we close, to start our free, self-paced online Bible study, go to igh.worldbibleschool.org or click the online courses link at internationalgospelhour.com. We hope that you can join us as we study God's Word together in our next broadcast.